Light service on this fine Wednesday night. It's good to see my family right there in the front row. You better behave yourself because Dad is watching. Santa and Jesus and all those people too, but I got you. All right, so welcome. We're glad that you're here. Danny and I are going to do a little tag team. We like to switch that up every now and then and just kind of do a little duo. And so we're going to do two little aspects of Christmas. One is going to be light and one is going to be life. And so I told Danny that I promised him as his Christmas gift that I would just keep it short. And he's like, sure. So, but I'm going to, and you can time me. I think I'm going to do really good. But mine is light. I'm going to go over light, and then Danny will do life. To kick it off, though, I love fun facts. If you know about me, I'm a big trivia guy. If you ever need a phone a friend, I wouldn't be bad. It just sticks in there, this useless information. But I think you might find this very interesting, and this is about light, all right? This first one is this fact. Traveling at the speed of light, you could go around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. 1 second, 7.5 times around the earth at the speed of light. All right, it's interesting. This one, there's an English law called the right to light. The law dictates that if someone has received natural light in their building for more than 20 years, they were allowed to forbid the construction of buildings that would block this stream of light. Interesting, right? Natural light, interesting law. Here's another one. When you say you will be somewhere in a jiffy, my kids, y'all know that? Jiffy? Have you heard that? I don't know. Is that still around? You know what that? Okay. You've heard it. I'll be there in a jiffy. You're actually referring to an existing unit of measurement. A jiffy is the time it takes light to travel 1 centimeter in a vacuum. That didn't do much for you. I can only imagine that if it can be around the world 7.5 times in a second, that to go 1 centimeter, I don't know, what's a centimeter, Danny? I don't know. Not very far. Anyway, jiffy. You're going to be there very, very quickly. All right, most of y'all are lying. You just got in the shower. You're not even close to being ready, right, Annie? All right. Plants. This is another one. You ready for this one? Plants are green because they reflect green light while absorbing the other colors. Now, I already knew that, but listen to this next part. The other colors that they absorb, okay? So we see the green because it absorbs all the others and then it reflects green. That's why we see it as green. It absorbs the other colors, okay? These other colors are used somehow by God's creation to create food in photosynthesis. Somehow it uses the other colors in the spectrum, right, to use photosynthesis, and there's chlorophyll and borophyll. Yeah, so it uses those colors. It's an incredible thing. I was super excited about that. Here's the last one. I did this one kind of a dedication for my wife. In photography, my wife takes pictures. If you're getting married, let me know. Shameless plug. Photography, okay? It comes from the Greek word. You ready? This is really cool. The Greek word, it means photography. It means drawing with light. Drawing with light. And I wonder what that meant. I just dove into like this Google search of like why it would mean that. And like, I am very educated now. We can have a conversation about like from the first of photography and how it started and how they use those as light and how it can, y'all don't seem as excited as I did, but anyway, drawing with light. I thought that was a cool image because pictures, it uses light. It's all about light and the lens and the bending and the refracting and all these different things. And so tonight we're talking about light. I want to read this scripture to you. It's in John 1, John is the disciple that Jesus loved. And in chapter 1, verses 4, it says this. I'm going to read through verse 9. It says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony." Verse 8, "John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." See, light is used to symbolize God and faith and holiness. Throughout Scripture, we can see light. And then in other things, we can see things like a yin-yang, right? You see the yin and the yang. You see the dark and you see the light. In movies and in cartoons, you see the dark outfits for the bad guys and the lighter, colorful outfits for the good guys. And so since the beginning of time, there's always been a struggle and a very stark contrast between darkness and light. In the biblical context, okay, when we talk about darkness, we're referring to the world, right? The world is in darkness. While in contrast, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ loves you, what we're celebrating now, that he came to earth as a little baby, he grew up, he had a ministry, and then he died on a cross, and then he rose from the grave. That's the good news. In contrast to darkness in the world, in sin, in death, in eternal separation, you have the gospel. You have the light, the true light of the world. So as Christians, we're called not only to walk in the light, right? We're supposed to walk in the light. But what we're kind of missing sometimes is a huge responsibility, and it's this, that we're not just supposed to walk in the light, but we're also supposed to be the light to other people. Because right now, church, we live in a very dark world, okay? You come to this place and you're safe. You come to these walls, you come into these ministries, into discipleship, into youth group, you're safe here. When you leave these walls, you leave these doors, and you go into your car, and you go into your environment, things can get crazy. You're about to go to Christmas and see people that you love seeing twice a year. I'll pray for you, man. I have to go talk to a cousin's husband that's a flat earther and doesn't believe in dinosaurs, doesn't believe that we went to space, do you believe the earth's flat, dude? Anyway, we're supposed to be a light in a dark, dark, dark. I got to be a light to this lost young man that thinks that the world is flat. We're supposed to be a light. As Christ followers, that's our responsibility. Let me read this verse to you. It's in John 8:12. John 8:12 says this, "Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Not a light that you would find in a flashlight. We're talking about an eternal light. When Jesus came and he was wrapped in a couple pieces of cloth and laid in that manger, he came for a very specific purpose, and that was to die for us. But that was the light. That was the true light. That was the ultimate sacrifice. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, and I'll end on this verse. 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." There's the contrast again. We see the darkness, and he pulls us out of the darkness into an understanding that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Again, that's the saving power of the gospel. That's what we have. That's what I say, Matt Trammell, not Pastor Matt, Matt the Christian, I say I have this light. And I need the world to see it. Am I doing my part? Or am I taking that light and I'm hiding it under a bushel? No. You guys are supposed to say, hide it under a bushel? No. Don't let Satan it out. Where's my Sunday school teachers at? Anyway. All right. Listen, we're supposed to be the light. We have the answer. This season is about Jesus. Our minds are already there, right? Use it, capitalize on it to be the light to the darkness. The relatives that you're about to see that you've been praying for all year, you may not like them, but you got to love them. Those are the people that need the light of Jesus. Listen, when you come in here, again, you're safe. I don't need your light. I have my light. Jesus is my light. You have Jesus. He's your light. Now take your light and go shine it out into the darkness where it is very, very needed in this particular climate that we're living in right now. So I love you. I appreciate you. Merry Christmas. Remember why we're celebrating this. And from the Trammels, and I know Daniel will say the same thing, but Merry Christmas. Again, thank you for another year with you, and also Happy New Year. I'm preaching next Sunday. No. January 2nd. Yeah, not this Sunday, next Sunday. Because you're going to be broken. All right, that's it, Danny. So Danny's going to talk about life.
So much for your 3 minutes. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I shouldn't joke about. Yeah, your message will be in 2022. You're going to kick that off. Shouldn't talk about years. This is 2021. It's probably why my mic didn't work. We're stuck in the past. We need to move forward, folks. So hopefully we'll get some new stuff. The Lord is willing. Life. Light and life. Matter of fact, those two terms are synonymous with one another. They are the same. Light is, matter of fact, the essence of life itself. Without light, we simply would not have nothing. Light is the main source of energy for all living organisms. We need life for life. Light for life. Life and light. Light, life. Life, light. They're synonymous. Let me give you my Google information. You know, the sunshine is one of the greatest sources of vitamin D. Actually, it's not a vitamin. That's kind of funny. Vitamin D is actually not a vitamin. It's a hormone in the body. And the sun actually produces the body, helps the body produce the hormone so that it can help. And vitamin D is essential for our life. That's why summer is so exciting for people. They have so much energy. They're healthy. You don't get sick in the summer. Well, some do. But you get it in the winter when you don't have so much sun, when you can't be outside, when you can't be enjoying things. Exposure to the light with the ultraviolet rays is essential for boosting happiness, the immune system, fighting all kinds of infections and serious illnesses. And taking that light, going back to the ancient world, this is amazing. Thousands of years ago, I mean, they took the light and used it for healing. Isn't that amazing? There was a city in Egypt called Heliopolis. And there was a place called the Salaria. And you can look all this up. But back in Egypt, this is, matter of fact, Heliopolis is talked about in Genesis 3 times, and Ezekiel talks about it once. And it was a place where they would come, and they would take the sunlight, and they would put it in this solaria, and they would separate every one of the colors. And each one of the colors did something for you. For instance, green was used for relaxation and mental balance. Orange was used for digestive problems. Red was used for disorders of muscles, veins, heart, and blood. Gold was used for the nervous system and spirit and the soul. And we even use that same type of light therapy today. Purple and violet is used for relaxation and a calming effect. That's why most people have certain colors in their offices and businesses so that they can create a certain atmosphere when you walk in there, right? Light brings life. It's healing. It's relaxing. It brings so much. And when we talk about the Bible, light and the dawn breaking, when light breaks the darkness, there is a new beginning. There is a new day. In Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, the psalmist writes this, "Weeping may endure for the night, but guess what? Joy comes in the morning. Every sunrise awakens every form of life." The light brings life alive. In the book of Genesis, we find one of the greatest, that's the one. See that? That is, it's amazing. But I love it because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, it talks about day 3. On day 3, the plants were created. The plants, every plant, every fruit-bearing tree with its seed to reproduce itself was produced on day 3. And you know what's amazing about that? That gives us great truth for the reality of the world that we see around us. You may not think about this, but I love this verse because it's one of the greatest one to absolutely annihilate evolution. And I love to do that. Because here's the idea. On day 4, the sun was created. Do you know that plant life can't survive without the sun? Without life, you have no life. Light is life. And on day 3, God created all the plants. There are Christians who, some believe the earth is flat. I get it. Others believe that God created the world in time periods of millions of years. But here's the problem. If God created plants on day 3, and it was millions of time periods, then day 4, when the sun come out, you'd have no plants to revive. They wouldn't be around. Isn't that amazing? Just by the natural world, and I know Romans 1 says, by nature proclaims that there's a creator God. You can't look at all this stuff and say that there's not a creator. It's amazing. Light is life. And so Jesus proclaimed he was life. He was light and life. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 in the NLT says, "We proclaim to you," John, the one that Jesus loved, "we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and we have seen. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." Just like John the Baptist, he was to proclaim that light. It was his testimony that people were to believe. He is the word of life, and this is the one who is life itself. It was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and he's now been revealed to us. Paul says that Jesus is our life in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. He says this, "When Christ, who is your life, appears," guess what? You're going to appear just like him. His life is our life, and when we get our new bodies, guess what? We're going to be just like his. It's going to be a body just like his. You know what? My body's getting old and worn out real quickly. Amen? I know some of you people out there got some replacements. But when I get that new body, I won't need it. It'll be guaranteed for eternity. Guaranteed by God. And so when we get that new body, we'll be just like Jesus. He is life. He is our life. In Psalm chapter 36, verse 9, the psalmist says, "For you are the fountain of life," talking about God, "the light by which we see," light and life, synonymous, interchangeable. John 1, 4, as Matt already read. Is that me again? You missed me. "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." Light and life. Life and light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, Jesus was the only one that was born destined to die on a cross to give light and life to everyone who would place their trust in what he did on the cross of Calvary. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In John 11:25, he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he's going to live. You believe in Jesus, you're going to have life. Amen? Understand, light and life are both Jesus himself, because they are interchangeable. When Peter was talking to Israel, he was talking to the religious leaders of his day. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, he told them this. He said, you killed the author of life. You killed him, but God raised him from the dead. And he said, we are witnesses to this. Paul was a witness to it. Peter was a witness to it. John the Baptist was a witness to it. John was a witness. And guess what? We are now witnesses in this day and age. We are light and life to a dark world. Amen? You are witnesses, and we need to go and do that. We need to be that witness. John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, Jesus says this. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night's coming when nobody can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he's no longer in the world. Matter of fact, in Matthew 26, verse 11, he said, if you want to help the poor you're going to have with you always. You can help the poor whenever you want, but you will not always have me. And that day in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when he said everything that he needed to say, he ascended up into heaven, and he left their sight. And you know what? Before Jesus left, he commissioned the church to go to the world to be the light that he was. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus said this, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to go into the world as light, giving the word of God to anyone who desires to have life. Don't walk away from our task. Go shine your light in darkness. Gabriel told Daniel in Daniel 12:3, he said, and those who are wise, they will shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. A city on a hill can't never be hidden. It's up there for everybody to see. And you are the light of Christ who is in you. Walk as light. Isaiah 60, verse 1, Isaiah writes this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Paul said in Romans 13, 12, this, the night is far gone, and the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He said in Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 this, for one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Remember, this world is darkness. We are the light. You can shine light on light in here. That's great. We need to be encouraging to one another. We need to pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. But you know what? You come get fueled up here so that you can go and shine that light into the darkness out there. That's your purpose. Jesus isn't here, and so we are his representatives. Let's go and be that light. Before I pray, I want you to remember that as we circle this auditorium here in a moment and light our lights, let that be a physical representation of what you have. You are the light of Christ to a lost and dying world. Let that light shine. Don't blow it out. I mean, we have to blow it out so the candles don't, you know, burn the church down. But don't extinguish the light of Christ in your life. go and be life to somebody who's in darkness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you, Lord. You can never be overcome with darkness. We love that, God. 1 John 1:5 says that you are light and in you is no darkness at all. And Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 4 that you let light shine out of darkness. And we just thank you that you let that light shine out of darkness. As we learn your ways, as we walk with you, you dispel all the darkness in our life. And moment by moment, and we just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and through his blood that has cleansed us of the penalty of sin. And as 1 John 1:9 says, as often as we confess our sinfulness, you just continually cleanse us and wash us white as snow. And we just thank you, Father. And God, we just thank you that we have an opportunity to give you glory, to be shining as light in this dark world. And may we do that to honor you. Jesus, it's all for your honor and glory that we do it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.